Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Tuesday edition of A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander again here on a Tuesday. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry.
I'm here for two more days as well. So, yeah, it's, you know, sorry if you didn't like what you saw yesterday. Kelly Bidlin, of course, on the desk with me as always. We'll have Mark Borchard join us a little bit later, talk some baseball. Jake Hahn, I hadn't seen Jake Hahn in a while. I'm glad to have Jake Hahn here.
Big week for Jake. Yeah. Stanley Cup final. We got the RBC.
He gets to shine.
Oh, he gets to shine. He even asked me, he was like, oh, we could talk a little golf too if you want. And I was like, Jake, why do you think I'm hitting you up? Canadian Open.
You know what?
You.
He's probably played the course or something.
He probably has.
You know? So we're going to get some inside info from Jake Hahn. Drew Dinsick going to join us as well. We'll talk a little tennis. We'll talk a little NBA. Who knows what else we're going to talk with Drew Dinsick. He can talk about just about anything, and we'll hit on some NFL awards markets that are going on out there as well. I know it's not Gil on the desk, but if you guys want to tweet us, it is at Matt Brown M2. It is at Kelly Bidlin. That is the EY version of Kelly. So let us know what's on your mind for sure. As we found out yesterday, there were some people out there defending the Android. That's what we got. I got some even after we went off air.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Nah, there's always the diehards. You're going to get that. Yeah. You're going to get that from anybody.
I mean, it's the full-on, like, I'm not giving in to your propaganda. And they also trying to get people to switch to Apple.
They know exactly what they're doing. They love being that guy. And for every group of friends, family, people, whatever, there's always one. And they like it. They like being that guy.
We'll get into what we saw last night. But first, guys, something that does affect each and every one of us, even though it's not a bet that we're going to be making today, it is a bet that you're going to be making in the future. And lawmakers in the middle of the night go and pass a bill, and it's going to be heading to Governor J.B. Pritzker's desk, which he is expected to actually sign this bill, in which it is going to add a 25-cent tax to every single sports bet made in the state of Illinois, up to $20 million in wagers. And then when you go beyond that threshold of $20 million, it is going to be a 50-cent tax on every wager after that. And what does that mean to you and me and to everybody out there? Well, if you're a low roller, which, by the way, that is 99.9% of the bettors out there. I know we like to talk about all of the four-figure, five-figure, six-figure bets that are out there. The majority of bettors are 10, 20, $30 bettors out there. And what that means to you is fewer promotions, fewer boosts, maybe those odds that we look at the same game parlays that we know don't pay out exactly at true odds are going to get a little bit worse in all of that. All of this is going to get passed along to us, the consumer. For you high rollers out there, what does that mean? Well, probably the odds are going to get worse. The hold is going to get bigger. All of the different things that we don't like as sports bettors, it's going to come down and trickle down to all of us. And the thing is, in all of this, is the reason that we have been advocating for a long time. And by the way, I host a business podcast on the business of sports betting in the casino industry in general, and I have for several years. And we've been championing taking this out of the offshore, taking this out of the bookies' hands, getting this out of the black market, and getting it into a regulated and legalized form of betting. And the thing is, Kelly, is what we're doing now is just pushing people back offshore with all of these things that don't make any sense whatsoever. They didn't do the math. Sports betting is a very slim margin business as it is. These guys, not only are they operating on small margins, you've got to remember, you're paying licensing fees to get a license in these states. You are then paying taxes on all of the stuff that goes along with all of that. There are a ton of expenses that these businesses have to endure that you do not have to for the offshores and, of course, for the bookies who are doing this and all of that. And so keep writing letters, keep sending emails, keep calling, leave voicemails, send stuff on social media. It does matter. And if you live outside of Illinois, don't think that this doesn't affect you either, because we have seen this in states. Copycat stuff go on. We see states pass a bill. The tax rate is X. They revisit that a year later. They raise the taxes. Well, guess what state X, Y, and Z does? They revisit it and they start talking about raising the taxes as well. And so if you don't think that we're going to be listening to other states talk about putting a tax on every single wager that you and I make moving forward in the state that you live in, you're crazy, because that is what happens in all of this. And so I know it feels like it's a futile effort, that you don't go in and that no one listens to you and they don't respond to you and they don't, it doesn't matter. Keep calling, keep writing, send stuff on social media, do whatever you can, because we cannot cripple this industry while it is still trying to get going here, Kelly. Yep. And that's the thing. Like, I know it feels like we've been doing this for a long time. We're still in the infancy of this industry right now. And if we start putting all of these ridiculous tax burdens on these casinos and sports books, they're not going to be able to function. And we're going to see less competition. We're going to see businesses go out of business. You're not going to get the people where you have you guys out there that have 12 different books. If this goes nationwide, if this happens, you're going to be betting on three books again. Like, there's going to be consolidation. People are going to figure that it's not worth their time. And for us as a consumer, this is only bad for us.
Yeah, and from the sportsbook's perspective, there's only so much they can do until the price starts getting passed down to the customer, right? Yeah. And you're going to start paying it, and every game that you bet, then every future, every same game parlay that you end up betting. And I think you hit on well with we're still in the infancy. Everybody's still trying to figure out how to handle this state to state and the different problems that have arisen throughout the early stages. I think were surprising to some, not as surprising to others, but this has been maybe the most concerning one to me, Matt, is if we start, you see one state having to hike up prices and then everybody, like you said, a bunch of other states are going to say, well, if I can make that much more money with copying the way these guys are doing it, why aren't we doing that? If you do that and it starts elevating the price for the customer to get involved in legalized sports betting, it's just going to continue to force people to look other places to bet. And then we're right back to square one, right? You're right back to people betting offshore, betting with bookies. This is the whole purpose of why we legalized sports betting in the United States in the first place. So it has not been, none of it's been perfect out of the gates, but these
laws that get put in that make no rhyme or reason, they didn't think through, that they don't understand how bad it is for their constituents, how bad it is for their state, how bad it is for the consumer. This is what drives me crazy. But the thing is, Kelly, we cannot take it for granted. It's going to happen. Like, it will be brought up. I promise you. Like, we will be talking about this in a few months of it getting brought up in another state and getting brought up in another state. And someone's going to write a bill and someone's going to back that bill. It's going to happen. And so we have to be vocal. I know it seems like they don't listen to us. Mm-hmm. Trust me. I have a very strong take on daylight savings time. I wrote a letter to every single one of our state senators about this. I've not gotten one response. But, I mean, the point is I at least wrote the letter. I at least made the voice note. Someone read something somewhere along the way. It might have been an intern. It might have been whatever. But at least the voice was – so social media, calls, voicemails, emails, letters, physical letters, all the stuff you can do. But make sure that this doesn't happen across the rest of the states. And hopefully – some pressure on Pritzker and he doesn't end up signing this thing if you guys continue in Illinois to make your voices heard out there.
Yep, I like it. I like it. Well said.
All right, guys. So getting into the actual sports that we did see, that does affect this sport. This is a huge, in the sports betting industry in general.
Everything's minus 115 both sides these days. Yeah. Like, that stuff's just going to continue if these types of things continue state to state.
So we did see some of the national seeds advance last night, a scare for LSU, who went in as high as minus 2,500, you found?
Yeah.
You found minus 2,500 in that. They were trailing early, well into the middle of that game, actually. Do end up winning 10-6 there in Baton Rouge, so they will advance and move on to a super regional. We did lose, by the way, good call on our Benny Wilson that was on yesterday, as not only did Murray State cover, they eliminated Ole Miss. They won outright in that game, Kelly Bidlin. So Ole Miss headed packing. Southern Miss, another national seed, not advancing as well. If you look on your screen, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber or watching this on YouTube TV, you can see we do have North Carolina and Auburn and Arkansas and LSU and Oregon State, all national seeds that do advance, UCLA and Tennessee as well, Florida State sitting there at the number 9, but you'd have Louisville, Miami came in, both unseeded. Arizona advances. You see West Virginia's going to take on LSU down there in Baton Rouge. Duke and Murray State, UTSA, and UCLA. So there are some familiar names on there, Kelly, but hey, look, we got a couple of little Cinderella stories, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know why my Noles had to draw Oregon State, who's by my rough history and collection, Matt, Oregon State's been in the College World Series roughly 19 out of the past 20 years. So, Florida State had to draw Oregon State. That's going to be one of the tougher matchups in the Super Regionals. But yeah, there's some There's some fun fun teams here that could make it to Omaha, and I know we got a bunch of shows going out there next week. It could be some fun matchups down there at Omaha.
Yeah, baseball news from yesterday, and if we're going to talk injury news and stuff that could affect things moving forward. So Devin Williams had lost the closer role. Luke Weaver had taken over the closer role there for the Yankees. He had been lights out. I'm talking absolutely fantastic, unhittable for the Yankees. Well, they're going to have to find and see if Devin Williams can be unhittable yet again like he was for several seasons before he got into the Bronx, because Luke Weaver going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury, likely to put Devin Williams back in that high leverage role there, Kelly. Again, one that he lost early on in the season because he was absolutely getting shelled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interested to see. I know that was a popular selection too, with the Yankees for most wins in June. Yeah, that was one that I was kind of circling in on. Glad I didn't end up betting it. But yeah, this is the type of stuff that impacts that right away, right? You get a little bit longer. You make these month-long bets. They're fun for short term, but the Yankees get to look at this a little bit of, oh, well, we have a little bit of time long term to figure out this situation. But if you've got bets on him for a month, not ideal.
Yeah, Mike Trout, welcome back from the IL. He's been absolutely destroying the ball since he got back from the IL. It's never been whether Mike Trout can hit or not. It's always just been whether he can stay on the field. He does hit his 10th home run last night. And with that, I might add, moves halfway. I got 20 and a half home runs on Trout preseason.
Oh, I bet it too, but I bet it at like 23 and a half. Yeah. I think it's where it was.
It's a lock as long as he can just stay
on the field. As long as he can stay on the field.
It's an absolute lock. It almost felt like it was free money for us. We'll talk some NBA when we come back, see what we think about some of these other markets out there. And I got a few baseball bets as well. See if we can talk you into maybe wanting to tail and get those into the account. One for one yesterday.
There you go.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as we've rolled through some baseball bets so far.
Yeah.
We got a rant in at the top of the show.
Politics. Taxes.
I was going to say, before, if you weren't listening to hour number one, it was not like, you know, that type of politics. It was some other type of politics. If you want to see it, it's actually over on the Twitter machine. If you want to take a look at that, VSiN Live. If you're not, you should be, y'all are all following VSiN on the Twitter, right?
Should be.
You're not following Twitter on the
VSiN. Also, reminder, hopefully you're watching, listening live, but you can also take in all the replays over at VSiN.com or anywhere you get your podcasts.
We also talked through a little bit of alternate ways if you want some exposure to the Thunder. There are cheaper ways to get involved. Now they have to go your way when you have to, like, anything can't happen. But there are ways that you can get in on the Thunder and have your conviction on the Thunder and not have to pay $700.
Yes.
So that's
kind of
what we were trying to figure out.
We'll hit that a little bit more with Drew Dinsick coming up next, too. See how he's betting it. I know he's in a similar position as me where he's got some Thunder tickets. So see what he's doing, if anything, with the finals. And then I got some series player props to talk about later, too.
Okay, we'll get on that. But let's see if you have any series player props here in this one. I'm going to guess no.
But the man who taught me about Soggs, Matt Brown, that's what we're going out to.
Hey, he's the co-host of The Point and Fantasy Hockey Show over on SiriusXM. He is Jay Kahn. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, Soggs were great until they took them away from us, or they made it very difficult at least to hit the overs. So then as gamblers do, we pivot, we find value maybe in the unders as well. But happy to be here with you guys. Matt, as much as I love talking to Gil when I come on, it's great to see you and break down this the Stanley Cup final. I don't love all the days off between games, but we're one day closer and Cup final kicks off tomorrow night in Edmonton. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was actually my first question to you is, does the long layoff, in your opinion, favor either one of these squads?
I would say no for this time. Now, we do have instances where, okay, one conference final might end significantly earlier than another, right? But in this case, it was one day apart. Both teams are getting an extended layoff. There's no bodies coming back that are affected by this break. Now, Edmonton's getting Matthias Ekholm back, but they were going to be getting him back regardless of what the break was going to be. He was ready to go. And unfortunately for Edmonton, they lose Zach Hyman, and there is no timetable for him to return. He's will not be available to them in the Stanley Cup final. So it's not going to affect anybody coming back. And, you know, really, both teams kind of hit the reset button. And I think, at least in terms of the viewer perspective, guys, and what we're going to see in this cup final, I think you're going to get a very healthy version of both of these teams. Like I said, Hyman out for the Oilers, unfortunate. I feel bad for the guy. He's a competitor. You know, he wants to be out there for this cup final. But Edmonton, fairly healthy, and Florida basically fully healthy. And I don't know if you could say that about both of these teams in the cup final last year.
All right, Jake, I'm going to derail things here a little bit. We'll get back to the series, but I want to circle back to something you said off the top, kind of jokingly, but the shots on goal market, because that was one, I think, when you first brought it up when we were talking on Primetime Action 3 years ago or whatever it was, I think it was a market for even, you know, people like me and Matt who don't bet hockey. You could see, hey, that's a little easier for me to recognize value in, as opposed to some of the other, you know, to score a goal markets, anything like that. So you've seen that tougher to bet, tougher to beat now. And is there other markets that you're maybe looking at nowadays that are like that for player props?
A great question. And yeah, the market has changed drastically over the last couple of years, guys. I'm looking like 3 or 4 years back, you could take 6 or 7 guys and their overs in certain games, you know, maybe higher pace games. And you'd feel pretty good about hitting about 5 of those players and knowing you're going to come out with a nice profit. And they really changed how they recorded shots on goal in the National Hockey League. They're very stingy with it now. There's a lot of, you know, borderline pucks that, okay, maybe that was going to hit the post. You know, if the goaltender's playing it just a little outside of his net, I've talked to former goaltenders about it as well, and they said they love those saves. That's like free save percentage for them. Now those are gone, right? So they're very stingy with it, which obviously you can pivot to some unders if you see some value there as well. But, you know, going into other prop markets, I think a lot of people, myself included, love the block shots this time of the year, because guys are more ready to get in front of these pucks. It's playoff hockey, so you see your defensemen for some block shots. I think that's a market that you could certainly look at in this cup final as well. And just your classic point, they can't take points away. They can't take goals and assists away or be stingy with that. Those are always legitimate. So I think looking at the assist market is always nice. You get a little bit of an extra bump up in that plus money for an assist prop. So I'll be looking to that and the block shots a little bit here.
Talking to Jake Hahn, knowledgeable and handsome, if you guys are watching over on the video feed with all of that. Jake, the series price opened about 110 on both sides as a coin flip, and now seeing a little bit of money come in on Edmonton, to where at least at DraftKings, they're minus 120, even money there on the Panthers. When this thing dropped, what did you think of the price? What do you think of the price move now?
If I'm pricing it, I'm thinking Florida may be a slight favorite myself, just before the series price open, and the respect that they deserve for being the defending champs and everything like that. But in terms of the line movement, I'm not surprised at all, Matt. I think people want to bet Connor McDavid. And look, I like Edmonton as well. I think that they're ready to win this series. I think that they could draw from their experience from last year. They're familiar with their opponent. They have home ice advantage. There's a lot of things working in Edmonton's favor that maybe they weren't last year. I look at the health of Leon Draisaitl, 0 goals in 7 games in the Stanley Cup final last year. He looks 100% right now. So obviously we think he's going to be a factor in this series. So I totally understand the line movement. And there's also just a lot of Edmonton money baked into the market already. People have been betting Edmonton Cup futures since Game 7 ended last year. As soon as the market opened up, they're like, well, they lost. They were close. Next year's McDavid's year. So there's a lot of money already in on Edmonton throughout the market. And with home ice advantage, I'm not surprised to see that slight line move. But honestly, I would price it very close to a coin flip, guys. I don't think that there's much separating these teams. And really, home ice advantage has not mean all that much in these playoffs so far. So it's nice that Edmonton has that extra home game if it goes to Game 7. But home road doesn't seem to matter to these teams, especially the Florida Panthers. They seem to be going be able to go into any building in any situation and win a hockey game.
So, Jake, I just reading between the lines, I'm going to guess that this would be a Panthers bet or pass for you on the series price. What number would you need to see on the Panthers to get involved there? And then are you otherwise, are you just planning on attacking this game to game?
So I will be attacking this game to game. Like you said, I think if this was a little closer to a pick'em or maybe even Edmonton plus money, I would look at betting the Edmonton Oilers here. Okay. Just because I do feel like this is their year. I feel like McDavid's just got that look in his eye. I struggle to see him losing 2 straight Stanley Cup finals, but now I'm seeing that plus money with Florida and I'm going, man, I have so much respect for this team. They're so good. They just find ways to win all these series. And you could argue they're actually better than the team that won the Stanley Cup last year. So now I'm seeing a little plus money for Florida, but still not enough, I think, to get into the series price at this point. I think I want to see how these first couple games go. And obviously, we're going to see a shift in the price. So maybe jump in mid-series if I see some value there. But a game-by-game situation, and at least for game one, guys, I am going to roll with the Edmonton Oilers. I think they get off to a good start in this series, feed off that crowd. They know they can't get behind 3-0 like they did last year. That's for sure. So I think they want to set the tone early, and I think they're going to feed off that game one crowd in Edmonton is going to be absolutely insane, and I think they feed off that and at least get off to a 1-0 series lead here.
Okay, so we're going to Edmonton there in game number one, which is good for my Edmonton in five bet that I made just to have a sweat. Hashtag not game. Hashtag not gambling information. There. Like that is not like do not. Just don't take advice on that at all. Jake, 6.5 the total there in that one. Are we going to see goals or no?
Well, I tend to think early in the series is where you're going to see some goals, guys. Now, last year, looking back at the cup final, again, I don't want to read too much into a series that happened last year, but there is similarities, obviously, with these two teams. And we had more overs than unders. I believe it was 5 overs and 2 unders in the 7-game series last year. So if you look at that, you go, okay, maybe we want to play your overs. And I do prefer overs early in this series because I think you're going to see the refs call some penalties, maybe set the tone. As the series goes on, you get into 5, 6, 7, the whistles go away, games played at even strength, and both of these goaltenders have been playing relatively well, some inconsistencies, so you're going to see some unders throughout the course of the series, but yeah, for game one, I tend to lean towards the over in these situations, because I think you're going to see more penalties called in games one and two.
All right, Jake, so I need the official prediction from you, who's going to win, how many games, and then we're switching over to golf and the RBC Canadian Open right in your backyard. Tell me who you're looking at this week over there.
I am going to take the Edmonton Oilers. I'm going to take them in 7 games.
You said 5. Then you said 5.
Hey, 5 is possible. If they win both their home games, they find a way to win one in Florida, they bring it 3-1 back to Edmonton. 5 is possible. So I don't hate your bet from a value perspective there, Matt, but I'm going to take Edmonton in 7 just for maximum drama, right? A game 7 in Edmonton in Canada. That would just be crazy. And speaking of Canada, like you mentioned, in my backyard, a little northwest of where I am right now, TPC Osprey Valley. I'll be at the course on Saturday, walking around, maybe having a few pints and taking in some of the golf here, guys. So I got to build a winning card this week. Certainly have to have at least one Canadian on there, and there's a few that are close to the top of the board. I always prefer Nick Taylor. I don't understand why he's 2-3 times the price of a guy like Corey Connors. As great as Connors is, awesome ball striker, I always prefer to go with Nick Taylor. He's a guy I trust if he gets into contention on the weekend. And I love the Euros. This is a bit of a Lynx style course that we have here. So I like some of the Euro grinders in that 60 to 80 range. Maybe you look at a Ryan Fox, one of the Højgaard twins. That's kind of where I'm going to be building my card this week.
Jake, we got about 30 seconds. Have you had the honor of playing TPC Toronto?
I have not. It's funny. I actually got invited to play it last year by a good friend of mine, really good golfer, actually. And I couldn't. I had to work. I was too busy in the cup final, whatever it was. So work took precedence, sadly, guys, or else I would have had a full course breakdown for you. And trust me, I would have seen every inch of that golf course. So no good. But I do know it's a Lynx style course, and I'm excited to go check it out and see what it looks like on the weekend.
Well, next time you're down here, buddy, I'll take you golfing.
It's also not that close to Toronto. Right, Jake?
No. No, it's not. I'm as somebody that lives right downtown, it's going to be a battle for me to get there on Saturday. But these are the things we do to watch sports, right?
That's right.
Find him over on SiriusXM, the Fantasy Hockey Show, co-host of The Point as well, at JHon4 over on the Twitter machine. He is JHon. Jake, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck.
Always great talking to you guys. Have yourselves a good week.
When we come back, tennis and NBA with Drew Dinsick. Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk, and we got to get right to it because we have so much to talk about with our, what should we just say, this is our, we're looking at going from JHon to Drew Dinsick. Is this a sports gambling show, or is this like Miami Swim Week that we've got going on here, right? Like, we're going straight from JHon into Drew Dinsick. You can find him, NBC Sports Edge, a deep dive podcast, and of course, Whale_Capper over on the Twitter machine. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing well. It's great to see you guys. I hope you are well. Also, enjoying / sweating the French Open right now. biggest stake I ended up with in any of the futures pools, outside of some outright shots on center, are my Musetti quarter prices. I got matched up, you know, fairly significantly at +195, and while it was smooth sailing through four rounds, he now finds himself in a tussle with the American Francis Tiafoe, who just will not go away.
Yeah, as we were talking about before we came on, I'm going to lose this one. I took under 38.5 games. I thought that Tiafoe's style was going to not play well with Musetti, and then it looked like, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to work out. 6-2 first set, and then he comes back and wins the second set. So I don't think I'm going to stay under 38.5 here.
It's going to be a close call for you. Yeah. Really, you just need, you're going to need Musetti to take this one 6-4, and then Francis to let go of the rope and have a 6-2, 6-1 type of final set there. But it's possible. My fare right now actually is right around 39.5. So you're not too far away.
Not dead. Not dead. We do have one more match that people can bet on here today, is Tommy Paul and Carlos Alcaraz are going to go at it. Now the price is huge. -1200 on Alcaraz, 8-1 there on Paul. Is there a different way for people to bet this if they are looking to get involved?
I think so. The market is a little overconfident in Alcaraz. It has been this entire French Open so far, for my money, at least. This is not to say he's not the rightful favorite for the tournament. And it's not to say he's not the rightful favorite for this match. But he has been less dialed, less sharp, just less dangerous than I expected when we came into this tournament. Had pretty lackluster performance against Zoomer at night, notably, which again has been a bit of a Achilles heel for Alcaraz to this point in his career. For some reason, when he's playing in these night matches, be it at the U.S. Open, losing to a Botic van der Zandschulp, or dropping a set to Zoomer here at the French Open, like, for whatever reason, at night he is not as sharp, and he is, you know, he's vulnerable to you know, anyone bringing their best game on a given day to taking some sets, doing some damage. And Tommy Paul does have two career wins against him head to head. Now, they both came in Canada on hard court, and this is obviously a very different surface when you're on clay. And Tommy Paul dealing with some injury concerns throughout the balance of this tournament, but played amazingly well in his round four, straight sets defeat of Alex Popperin. So I think Paul can hang here, and I'm kind of, again, I'm hanging my hat on the fact that we have not seen the best of Alcaraz this fortnight, and we have never seen the best of him at night for some reason. And so because it's kind of a nice little stew of you know, kind of soft you know, circumstantial evidence that suggests that Tommy Paul can make a match out of this. So I have backed +7.5 games. -108 is a fair price, and just in general hoping that that Tommy Paul can show up for us today.
Drew, I know we got a lot of NBA we want to get to with you as well, so just jumping ahead, French Open here, man, a bunch of great matches coming up the next couple days. Are there any that you dialed in on, have already locked in for bets?
Yeah, we do. This is probably going to end up being the best / most entertaining week of tennis that we get all calendar year. This is maybe the best women's slam that I have lived through in my life. This final eight is absolutely loaded, and the margin of difference between you know, your first best and now your fifth best remaining player is pretty narrow. The only kind of runner who's not realistically a contender here is Louise Boisson. She's the surprise player at the party, likely loses in straight sets to Mira Andreeva tomorrow. But Coco Gauff and Keys is an absolute battle royale. I have Gauff in the outright market at +550. I think she still comes through this. I still think she should be the head-to-head favorite against Mira Andreeva in what is likely your bottom half semifinal. And then in your top half semifinal, I disagree with the market making Iga Swiatek the favorite over Aryna Sabalenka. Iga comes through in a relatively meh performance today, I thought, against Svitolina. More of the takeaway was that of that match was that Svitolina just was not really physically ready to go after a really, really, really difficult round four match against Paolini. And you know, Iga did her job. She took advantage of the high leverage points of the match. But Sabalenka is another level up, and Iga having kind of had to come fight hard through the Rybakina match, where Rybakina eventually let her off the hook. Sabalenka is not going to do that. And I think Sabalenka is a pretty decent bet at price here. I would make her closer to minus 135, and she is a small underdog here to Iga. So Sabalenka for me in the women's semifinal on the top. Holding my breath that Coco gets past Mira Andreeva, likely on the bottom. And then I still think Coco ought to be a realistic shot to beat Sabalenka in the women's final. But honestly, it could go any of the top four women right now. That is to say Andreeva, Coco, Sabalenka, Iga. Any one of them could win, and it shouldn't shock anyone. So really going to be a thrilling finale to this really great tournament.
Talking to Drew Densick. Drew, let's take a hard shift here to the NBA, in which we find the Thunder kind of in that minus 700 range on the series. Pacers about 5-1-ish on the series. Price, are we out of control here? Is the number too far, or is the number not far enough?
I don't think it's far enough, but I also don't know that it's bettable. Mm-hmm. My fair price here is minus 861, so I'm about a 90% chance that the Thunder win this series. I make the Thunder 9.5-point favorites at home. I make them 5-point favorites on the road. My most likely outcome is a Thunder sweep. My second most likely outcome is Thunder winning 4-1. That feels pretty reasonable to me, just given that you have a young team in the finals for the first time. And, you know, they're going to have a little bit of a challenge on their hands going to Indiana in that environment and getting game three. So I think we very much live in a world where Indiana takes game three and the Thunder come through 4-1, clinching at home. The Thunder are just such a phenomenally impressive team at home. It's tough for me to see exactly how Indiana finds their way in, even though Indiana is kind of a unique team to prepare for and really well coached. And Halliburton obviously is playing out of his mind right now. So it's going to be it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But when you kind of break down these player by player ratings, for me at least, this is the first series where Indiana is not going to have the best offensive player in the series. Halliburton was the best offensive player in all three rounds that we've come to this point, and now Shea is clearly the best offensive player, and they're going to have a difficult time matching up with him defensively. And then if you want to make an all defense team, guys, let's pick the five best defenders in this series. Guess what? They're all Thunder. Yeah. Like the closing five for the Thunder is the best five defenders in this series. So, I mean, if it's a close game, if you're trying to, put this thing away in at the death, it's certainly going to be Thunder defense, in my opinion. And so, not saying that this is the most confident angle of the season by any stretch of the imagination. And if you haven't been listening to us, then you don't have any Thunder already in pocket at much better prices. So I don't know what to tell you. But to me, at least, this is looks to be a pretty clean, done and dusted Thunder in 4 or 5.
Yeah, Drew, any other markets that you looked at, either for the series long player props or anything like that, where you anything jump out to you where you think there's a bet or anything you're looking to make a bet before final start? You just rolling with what you got?
Well, for me, again, kind of thinking that this tacks into a likely short series, it would be sort of series long player unders is a pretty fun angle. I do think that game by game unders is the angle of attack as well. Not especially close to this game one total, if we're being honest. I'm closer to 220. So to me, at least, I think this tax this is pretty clear series long player unders. And if you want to get like crazy weird, I'm not trying to like kind of lean into recency bias, because we did just live through a Eastern Conference Finals where Pascal Siakam stole the Eastern Conference MVP from Halliburton somehow. And I had some long shot prices on him. It wasn't, anything to write home about stake wise. So I just kind of laugh when you see it happen. But the voters for these awards, there's only 9 of them, guys. Yep. And like, for whatever reason, like they send funny messages. The message that Jason Tatum wasn't the best Celtic last year in the finals. Excuse me? Like, he was the entire reason that they were able to play defense the way they were. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. And if it's literally just going to be, a hot hand stat counting type of award, then I think Shea Gilgeous-Alexander in the minus 600 range is absurdity. Like, there is very clearly a world where somebody like a Chet Holmgren has the series of his life. He's had a breakout playoffs to this point. He's 80-1. You know, like, and so I guess where I'm at is the second, the third, and the fourth most likely winners of this award are all Thunder. And you only need one guy to really catch a hot hand to be able to take down SGA with the way that these voters are treating this award. So my favorite bet, though, was 80-1 on that chip.
At @whale_capper, Deep Dive Podcast, and of course over on NBC Sports Edge, he is Drew Densick. Drew, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck.
Best luck, guys. Enjoy the finals.
Hey, it's always NFL season, right, Kelly?
That's right.
Let's talk it when we come back.